From the studios of Radio Sai at Prashanti Nilayam, I am Chandu Vijay and this is Love to Love. And today we have a talk by Dr. Sai Giridhar. Brother Sai Giridhar, who was born into a Sai family, later joined the Sri Sathya Sai Higher Secondary School for his 11th standard. He continued to do his bachelor's and master's in chemistry from the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. And following Swami's instruction, he did his PhD in chemistry, after which joined the Sri Sathya Sai Center for Human Values here in Prashanti Nilayam as a resident fellow. This talk is titled The Triumph of Shiva and was delivered in the Satsang Hall here in Prashanti Nilayam on the 27th of February 2014. Stay tuned, dear listeners. After the talk, we have some beautiful bhajans from the album series Bhavanjali, produced by the Sri Sathya Sai Media Division. And at 3:30 p.m. we have the live Telugu segment Sri Sathya Sai Divya Sandesha Jhari. With that, over to Dr. Sai Giridhar.
Brahma and Vishnu were having a debate on earth as to who is greater amongst the two. And that is when Lord Shiva decided to reveal or dispel the darkness. And he took up the form of a grand beam of light that encompassed all the three worlds. It encompassed the earth, the skies and the heaven, it is said. And then Brahma and Vishnu were wonderstruck as to what is this grand beam of light. So they decided that they will explore and find out really what this is. It was so effulgent, so magnificent, so brilliant and massive, endless. So Brahma took up the form of the swan and flew high up into the sky to find the top or the starting point of this beam of light. Vishnu, it is said, took the form of Varaha or wild boar, and he really dug into the earth, into what is known as the netherworlds or the Patala, to discover where really this ray of light ends. Both of them did this, it is said, for lakhs of years, and they still could not manage to find where this light began and where it ended. So they came back to where they started and were sharing notes with each other. And it is said that Brahma at that point could not take his failure and he lied, saying that, yes, I saw the source of this light. And that very moment, that brilliant beam of light took the form of Shiva and said, that is a lie. And hence you are cursed that you will never be worshipped by anybody in your physical form. Vishnu, on the other hand, submitted and said, I could not discover the other end of this light. What is the significance of the story? Does it mean that the Trinity, as we know them, Brahma, Vishnu and Maheshwara, are in conflict with each other? Are in competition? Let me take you all to that beautiful moment in Ooty when Bhagwan was seated on a chair. Suddenly, Swami always loves these Polaroid cameras. The Polaroid camera gives an instant photograph. So Swami, in his entourage, one of the devotees had a Polaroid camera. So Swami asked them to keep the camera ready so that they can take a picture of Bhagwan. And Swami was standing there so beautifully, majestic in all his glory, with his hair all set very well, adjusting his robe, and said, yes, take the picture. One of the elderly devotees who is an ardent devotee of Bhagwan, who got the chance to serve Bhagwan very closely, that auntie saw that Swami's robe was slightly not adjusted, so she wanted to put it back in place. As she approached Swami, Swami shouted and said, "Hey, don't come near me." With such a tone, those of us who are fortunate to hear Swami's admonishing tone will know that the moment it releases, the tone is released from his vocal cords, the entire three worlds shivers. Leave alone an individual. And here was Swami said, "Hey, don't come near me." And this lady simply was stunned at that very place. And the photograph was taken, and Swami was with eager anticipation to see what comes out of the photograph. You know, you have to dry it, blow air on it and all that. After 15 minutes when the photo was ready, Swami said, "Don't show it to anybody, get it here. And Swami took it like that and revealed to everybody, it was the form of Dattatreya. Brahma, Vishnu and Maheshwara all in one. Swami said, "I am that Dattatreya." Of course, then Swami told that elderly devotee that if you would have touched me at that point of time in my magnificent form showing the unity of the Trinity, you would have been burned to ashes. That was the energy that the form was beholding at that moment. That is why I have asked you not to come near me. So the Trinity are not in conflict. In fact, they are one and the same. Then what does the story of going in search of the source and the end of this beam of light signify? Brahma took the form of Swan. Swami says, we are all his amshas. We are all aspects or little sparks of himself. If he is Dattatreya, which means Brahma, Vishnu, Maheshwara is there in all of us, how is it possible? Can any one of us believe that Brahma, Vishnu, Maheshwara is in us? But then it is true, Swami says. Brahma took the form of a swan. Swan in Sanskrit is also called Hamsa. Swami says that there is one phenomena which happens in us 21,600 times a day, day in and day out, 365 days, as long as we live, constantly reminding us about our true nature and reality. And that is very simple, our breath. Swami says, as the breath goes in, it says so. As the breath comes out, it says hum. So, hum. And Swami says, if you pay a little attention to your breath and this so hum keeps going, you will start listening to hum so hum, hum so hum, hum so hum, hum so hum. Hamsa means the celestial swan, which has the ability to take out or separate water and milk. Drink only the milk and leave alone the water from the mix of the two. Just imagine if we all could do. We all know the ratio of water and milk these days. But that capability is there in each one of us, because hum so hum, hum so hum, that Hamsa Gayatri continuously goes on in us. Swami says, Brahma took the form of Hamsa to convey to us that he is verily our prana or our breath. We all know that Mother Saraswati is the consort of Brahma. Mother Saraswati is also known as Vag Devi. She is also known as Hamsa Vahini. Her vehicle is Hamsa. How is it? What does it mean? Vak means sound. The words that we produce from our vocal cords. Sound is Vak. And if you simply dwell into the science of sound, it is impossible to create or produce a sound without breath. It is in fact the air circulation which carries the sound, and that is how the sound is produced. That air which circulates is verily Hamsa or Brahma, and hence the consort of Hamsa who carries the sound, the air, is Saraswati. Saraswati is the sound. One who carries the sound is the breath, which is Hamsa, which is none other than Brahma. That is why in this story it is depicted that Brahma took the form of a swan and was trying to explore the length and breadth of the Shivalinga or the Jyotirlinga, as it is called. On the other hand, we have Vishnu. What does Vishnu mean? Vishnu, normally people relate to the Chaturbhujadhari, the four-handed one with the conch, the discus, the mace and the lotus, who lives in Vaikuntha. But Swami says, Vishnu literally means that which pervades everything. And we all know it is very simple. If we close our eyes, at will we can go to New Jersey, we can go to Taj Mahal, any place that we have dwelt in, our mind can instantly go to that place because the cosmic mind literally dwells everywhere. So Swami says, Vishnu means none other than mind itself. Our mind is Vishnu. And our words or our speech is Brahma. And what this beautiful episode conveys is given in a beautiful shloka, Yato vacho nivartante aprapya manasasaha. What were they trying to decipher? They were trying to understand the glory of the Jyotirlinga or Shiva Tattva, which is none other than the Atman. And the Vedas declare, Yato vacho nivartante aprapya manasasaha, which means that which cannot, Yato vacho nivartante, that which cannot be described by words. Brahma, in the form of swan, could not find the beginning of it. Aprapya manasasaha, even Vishnu, who is the mind, could not discover what that Jyotirlinga was. So this one incident or example signifies that it is impossible to decipher what Shiva is, what Atma Tattva is, through words or by the mind. It is beyond the senses and the mind. That aspect is Shiva. There is another beautiful story to understand what really this Shiva Shakti Tattva is. It seems there was a time when Narada, the great celestial sage, who is known to cause confusion, though people attribute this nature to him, actually Swami says the meaning of the word Narada means, Nara means Naras, that is human beings, or actually it is not only human beings, it's the entire Prakriti is called Nara, which is a part of Narayana. And Da means one who gives. Gives what? Wisdom. Narada means one who gives wisdom to Nara is Narada. He creates confusion only to give wisdom. But how can you create confusion to give wisdom? It is very simple. Lord Krishna did exactly the same. He saw that Arjuna was seated on the chariot. He has all the possible weapons that he needs. He is the greatest warrior that one could imagine. All the qualities that is required for a supreme fighter, a warrior of dharma, is there in Arjuna. But he knew that if he would go with vengeance and arrogance and fight this war of dharma, it will be a personal war and it won't be for dharma. And if this war is fought on a personal basis, on an egoistic basis, and not for dharma, then this would be a disaster. So Krishna knew what is the right thing to do. When Arjuna said, Lord, take me to the center of the battlefield, Lord Krishna could have very well taken him in front of Duryodhana and Dushasana and Karna. Of course, Karna was not there in the battlefield on the first day. But at least Duryodhana and Dushasana. His blood would have boiled and with all that anger he would have gone and fought. That would not have been a Dharma Yuddha. What did the Lord do? Lord Krishna took the chariot straight in front of Bhishma Pitama, Dronacharya and Kripacharya, who were dearer than his own father to him. Bhishma, the great warrior, was his grandsire. And he loved him like his father. And even Bhishma Pitama had great love for Arjuna. The moment Arjuna was brought in front of Bhishma Pitama, Arjuna began to tremble. Doubts began to raise in his heart. He dropped his weapons and forlorn sat Arjuna wondering, have I acquired all these siddhis? Have I acquired all these weapons to kill my grandsire? How can I do such a thing? And he dropped his weapons. Confusion began in his mind and Krishna was delighted. So he said, oh Arjuna, are you confused? And he gave him the 18 chapters of the Bhagavad Gita. giving him the true picture. And the essence of what he said is, Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mama anusmara yuddhacha. Every single moment, be aware constantly that it is me who is doing the action. With that awareness, do whatever you are asked to do. In that case, it was a war. In our case, it could be reading a book. It could be doing our work. Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu. Every single moment, mama anusmara. Remember that I am the doer. Yuddhacha. Fight. Krishna said to Arjuna. So confusion often leads to clarity and wisdom. So Narada, that's why, creates confusion to give wisdom to others. So Narada went to Brahma. And he, in fact, went to Mother Saraswati and told, Mother, see, Brahma has created so many apsaras. Do you have a count of them? Mother said, no. Then he said, start counting. Enough. Problem was created. He then went to Mahavishnu and then said, Lord, I want to meet Mother Lakshmi. He said, I know why you have come. Go, go, go ahead. So Narada goes to Mother Lakshmi and says, do I have to tell you anything? Please keep stock of things. How many avatars the Lord takes? So she started making calculations. He knew the problem is created. No issues there. Then somebody told him, it's very easy to confuse Mother Lakshmi and Saraswati, but impossible to confuse Mother Parvati. Why? Because Shiva and Parvati are perfect couple. These are all just stories. They have a message. Don't take it literally. So Shiva and Parvati, of course, this is the truth. Shiva and Parvati is a perfect ideal couple. So somebody said to Narada that it is easy to do this job, but you try it with Shiva. Let us see. So Narada says, okay, let me do it. And he goes. And he tries every argument possible. Mother Parvati says, no, this already Lord Shiva has discussed with me. No, this I know already. So he was wondering, is there anything at all which they don't know? Everything seems to be in perfect understanding. In fact, Shiva Shakti don't seem to be different at all. Everything they know. Then he wondered. And then he looked at the Mundamala which Lord Shiva was wearing. Mundamala means the garland of skulls which Lord Shiva in his Bhairava form is said to adorn. He was wearing the Mundamala and Narada looked at that. And he called Mother Sati and said, Mother, look at that mala. Do you see that? His mother said, Narada, I know what you are trying to do. That mala has been on the Lord right from the beginning. I am witness to it. He said, Mother, that is fine. But look at it carefully. Mother said, what about it? Do you see that they are all feminine skulls? She said, no, I did not look at it that way. No, look carefully. Their features are all feminine. Said, yeah, it is. Do you know how it is? Who? Feminine means who is it? Whose skull is he wearing? Then Mother Parvati, in this divine Leela, immediately said, I don't know. He said, my job is done. He walked away. And then Mother Parvati goes to Lord Shiva and asks, Lord, you never told me about these skulls. And they seem to be feminine skulls. So whose skulls are you wearing? Please enlighten me on this. Lord Shiva smiles and says, my dearest, do you know whose skulls these are? Every time this creation has come into being, my own energy aspect, which is Shakti, which is you, are created. And each time this creation was created and dissolved back into myself, there was a Sati, there was a Parvati. And this is your own skulls. And the number of skulls I am wearing denotes the number of times I have manifested and unmanifested into the entire cosmos. In revealing this, Lord Shiva gave a beautiful picture so that this limited mind can understand how this creation happens and what really is this creation and what is their relationship with Shiva Shakti. Lord Shiva said that at the beginning there was nothing. That absolute nothingness, Satchit Ananda, is the Shiva Tattvam, and from him sprang energy. And the Purusha Suktam says, Padosya Vishwa Bhutani Tripadasyamritam Divi. Which means, Padosya Vishwa Bhutani, only 1/4 of that cosmic Purusha, the absolute nothingness, only 1/4 of that manifested as energy. And 3/4, Tripadasya Amritam Divi. Amritam means immortal or unknown, eternal. Because the creation comes and goes. That is why it's called Jagat, Jagat. That which comes and goes. But the 3/4 of the unmanifest is immortal, Amritatva. Only 1/4 comes and goes. That supreme nothingness in all its stillness becomes dynamic in nature as Shakti, and that Shakti further creates this entire universe by dividing itself into 3 roles of generator, ordainer and destroyer, which is known as Brahma, Vishnu, Maheshwara to all of us. So the Shiva Shakti principle which we are talking about is not just the physical form of Lord Shiva and Mother Parvati, but the cosmic truth itself, which further manifested into these portfolios for its own functioning without any difference. I heard a story of Tripura Rahasya from one of our Sai brothers, who claimed that this was narrated to him by the erstwhile pujari of our ashram, who used to be there in the 1990s. One day in an interaction with Bhagwan, Pujariji asked Swami, "Swami, what is Tripura Rahasyam? Can you please enlighten me? Whom else to ask other than the Supreme One Himself to reveal His own secret? Tripura Rahasyam. Rahasya means secret. Tripura means of the triune worlds." So Swami said, "It is very simple. I will narrate a story." Bhagwan said, "Once Brahma, Vishnu, Maheshwara had a doubt. Now if ordinary mortals have a doubt, they will go and ask their guru. If great gurus have doubt, they will consult Brahma, Vishnu, Maheshwara. If Brahma, Vishnu, Maheshwara have a doubt, whom will they consult?" So they went and consulted the Shakti, the energy which had divided herself into these triune aspects, who is also given a name called Tripura Devi. So they went to Tripura Devi and they asked Mother, "Mother, we have a question." Mother listened to the question very earnestly and said, "Even I cannot give the answer to this question, but I will take you to a place, and I am sure even as I tell you that I will take you to a place, many of you would wonder that it would be Prashantinilayam, but it is not." Mother took Brahma, Vishnu, Maheshwara to one place. Swami is described in that story that there is a huge gateway, and when that was flung open, there were thousands of Brahma, Vishnu, Maheshwaras and Tripura Devis. And all of them were prostrating in one direction. And then this Tripura Devi said, "There are millions of universes and every universe has got its own Brahma. Of course, Vishnu and Maheshwara is said to be one. There are millions of universes. That's why you see thousands of Brahmas here." There is a reference to this even in Bhagavatam. When the Brahma of this universe was deluded by the little beautiful form of Lord Krishna, he wondered, "Is this cowherd boy who is stealing butter, who is playing around and prancing with his friends, is he that Parabrahman? How is it possible?" He said, "It's not possible." So he stole away all the friends and the cows of Lord Krishna and put them in Brahmaloka in Yoga Nidra, deep sleep. Lord Krishna looked around, didn't find anybody. Immediately he wondered and he knew what has happened. He said, "Oh, is that so?" Immediately he separated himself into Gopalas and the cows and calves, and that day he returned home with all as usual. For that entire year, Brahma had kept them for one day. It is said that his one day is equal to 1 year for us. And for that entire year, the mothers had greater love towards their children. Somehow they felt the kind of love they feel for Krishna for their own children. They did not know why. They had that kind of love. It's described in Bhagavatam thus. And after 1 year, Brahma's one day, Brahma comes to inspect and see what has happened to this child who is playing the role of Parabrahman. And Brahma comes and sees everything is normal. All activities are going on. And he sees the cows, the little children whom he had taken to Brahmaloka, all there in Gokul, in Vrindavan. He is stunned and he goes back to Brahmaloka to see if they are really there or somebody has transported them back. When he goes there, the Dwarapalas, the gatekeepers say, no entry. He says, this is Brahmaloka and I am Brahma. What do you mean no entry? He says, they say, no, you are an imposter because our Lord is seated on the lotus. Look. And he peeps inside and sees on the grand lotus, Brahma is already sitting. Krishna manifested himself as Brahma also. So this Brahma was humbled and he ran to that little child, held his tender little feet and begged pardon and said, forgive me, my Lord. And then Krishna summoned, and it is said in Bhagavatam that thousands of Brahmas appeared. And Krishna said, I create thousands of universes and every universe has a Brahma. You are only one of them. So this has a precedence. And here was Swami narrating this story where Tripura Devi took them inside and thousands of Brahmas are there and all were prostrating towards somebody. And she said, here lies the answer to your questions. And it is said that the pada of a great being was seen. And when this Brahma craned his neck to see who this great being is, he saw standing there in the beautiful orange robe, Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba. Swami said, this is Tripura Rahasyam. That Shiva Shakti is beyond the concepts of Brahma, Vishnu, Maheshwara also. That is Satya Sai Baba, Swami said. Let me now come to some very beautiful instances in Bhagwan's life where he revealed this truth. Many of us might know that it was on 6th of July 1963 that most of the world came to know about the secret of the Sai avatars during the Guru Purnima discourse which Swami had given. But in fact, much before that, Swami had revealed many times about his identity. One for sure is when Mrs. Geeta Mohan Ram, her grandfather had come with her mother to Prashant Nilayam way back in the early 40s. And her grandfather did not believe in Bhagwan. But somehow her mother and her grandmother and others had great faith in this young boy, 18, 19 year old boy. They said he is God. And this old man was a devotee of Lord Shiva who worshipped him day in and day out. Refused to believe that this 18-year-old boy is God. So he said that I am not coming. They all said, see, Tata, old man, whether you want to come or not, we don't know. We know he is God. We are going to meet him in Puttaparthi. It's an arduous journey to go there. But if you are not coming, fine, we'll go. Surely, because he was a very dharmic person who felt he has to protect his family, so in order to take care of the women folk of his household, he said, okay, I will come. And he came the same arduous way, reached Penukonda and reached Bukapatnam, walk across Chitravati and all that. He reached Prashant Nilayam where a young 19-year-old boy was standing to welcome them. The moment he saw him, he swooned and fell. He did not get up for the next 3 days. All the family members are wondering, first of all, he did not want to come and here this mishap has happened. What will happen to us once he wakes up? And then Swami said, don't worry. Put him in Swami's Patha Mandiram in his room and said, he will be here, you don't worry. After 3 days, he'll get up. After 3 days, the old man gets up and goes to the family and says, now you all can go back to Bangalore. I am not coming. And they are all wonderstruck. What is this? They said, what happened to you? You said you won't even come here. Now you are saying you won't return? And then he said, my life is spent only in devotion to Lord Shiva. And when I entered the premises of this beautiful holy land, sacred land, and when I saw this young boy, I had the darshan of my Samba Shiva himself. Why do I need to go back to this world at all after this? I will stay back here. And he was the first pujari of Swami's Mandir.
നടരാജനമോ പാലലോചന ശിവരാജനമോ പാലലോചന ശിവരാജനമോ നന്ദിവാഹന നടരാജനമോ പരമൈശ ജഗദീശ നമോ പരമൈശ ജഗദീശ നമോ
പരമൈശ ജഗദീശ നമോ
ശിവശക്തി പരതീശ നമോ
ശിവശക്തി പരതീശ നമോ
ശിവശക്തി പരതീശ നമോ സായിശ നമോ ബോലെ ബാബാ സായിശ നമോ
ബോലെ ബാബാ
സായിശ നമോ നന്ദിവാഹന നടരാജനമോ പാലലോചന ശിവരാജനമോ നന്ദിവാഹന നടരാജനമോ പരമൈശ ജഗദീശ നമോ ശിവശക്തി പരതീശ നമോ
ശിവശക്തി പരതീശ നമോ
ബോലെ ബാബാ സായിശ നമോ
ബോലെ ബാബാ സായിശ നമോ
ബോലെ ബാബാ സായിശ നമോ നന്ദിവാഹന നടരാജനമോ
യു ആർ ലിസ്ണിംഗ് ടു റേഡിയോ സായി തേഴ്സ്ഡേ ലൈവ് സ്റ്റേ ട്യൂൺഡ്
Swami then itself revealed that I am Shiva himself. The second revelation that we all know of, for sure, happened on 25th November 1958. Mr. Venkat Ramana, an ardent devotee of Bhagwan, had come here to have Bhagwan's darshan with his wife and his little child, Geeta Sudha. And after having Swami's blessings on Swami's birthday celebrations, he was returning by his vehicle. Suddenly, when he was reaching Bagepalli, the car stopped because the girl, the little baby, was feeling uncomfortable. Soon he saw that she was becoming breathless, and soon it looked almost like she was no more. Immediately he closed his eyes, prayed to the Lord and said, "Lord, save us. What is this happening?" And an old man came by and said, "What has happened?" And he narrated the whole thing. And he said, "Which this child? Give her to me." And the old man took the child in his arm and fondled her. By the mere touch of the old man, life seems to have blossomed in that little child. And she started breathing again. And within no time, the child was perfectly all right. And Venkatramana Garu, in all his humility, was trying to offer 1 rupee to this old man for whatever he had done. He couldn't understand how the child came back. And the old man categorically refused. He said, "I don't want this money of yours." And then he said, "At least tell me your identity so I can remember you." And the old man said, "Oh, my name is Jodi Adipalli Somappa." We all know that in the Ashtotram we have Om Shri Sai Jodi Adipalli Somappaya Namaha. Later, Bhagwan explained the meaning of this name to Kasturi Garu, telling him that it was me who went as that old man to save that little girl, Geeta Sudha, who is well known today as Sudha Raghunathan, the great Carnatic singer. Swami revealed this truth, that it was he who saved the child, and said, "What is the meaning of Jodi Adipalli Somappa?" Swami said, "Jodi means couple, pair. Adipalli means the primal city or the pristine, pure city. Somappa," Swami explains, as Soma means, Swami says, Sa Uma, which means he and Uma, which means Shiva. Uma is none other than Parvati. So Shiva and Shakti. Somappa means Shiva and Shakti together as Jodi, and they hail from, because we all know in our names, the initial in the Indian naming system, the initial represents the place from which you come. So Lord Shiva said, or Bhagavan said, "Jodi Adipalli," the place from which I hail, my initial is A, which is Adipalli, and that Adipalli is the pristine, pure city, which is none other than Kailash. And who am I? Somappa, Swami said. Sa Uma, which means Shiva and Uma, Parvati. Together I am. In 1958, Swami made this revelation to this very, very blessed devotee of Bhagwan. We now fast forward to 1963. And in 1963, we all know that on 29th of June, suddenly one half, the left half of Bhagwan's physical body was completely paralyzed. Nothing was functional. In fact, some of them who were there with Bhagwan were in tears. They were not even able to explain to us when we were asking them, what was it like? Nothing was functional on this side. Right was okay, but of not much use. For 8 long days, Swami was like that. And on the Guru Purnima day, when thousands of devotees had gathered in Prashantinilayam, Swami said, "Carry me down." They said, "Swami, why do you have to strain yourself? Devotees, do they have to see you like this?" Swami said, "No, take me." And Swami was carried down on a chair and placed. And all the devotees burst into tears looking at Bhagwan. And Swami said, "Get me water." And a glass was brought near him. Instead of sipping the water, Swami dipped his fingers in the water and started to sprinkle water on his left half. As he was sprinkling water, every part by part, was coming back to life. And soon, within minutes, the entire form of Swami was ready. He asked for the discourse mic and he thundered, "Premaswarupallara." Thousands were witness to this grand miracle. But they were not just this much fortunate, but much more fortunate. Because during the course of the discourse, Swami revealed his true identity. And he narrated a story. Swami said that in Treta Yuga, sage Bharadwaja was to do a penance, a yajna. And in order to perform the yajna, he wanted to invite Mother Parvati along with Lord Shiva to preside over the ritual, the sacrificial ritual. So he went to Kailasha, and there he saw that Mother Parvati and Lord Shiva were engaged in the beautiful dance which is called the Tandava. And so he was in a prayerful mode, awaiting the Lord's benediction. And Mother Parvati looked at the sage and gave a smile. The sage misunderstood the smile as a mocking smile and thought that Mother is rejecting this offer or this prayer, and he started walking back. And as he neglected Mother and he was walking back, his legs froze. His entire body was paralyzed. And he stayed like that for 8 days until Lord Shiva and Mother Parvati again laid their gaze on him. And Lord Shiva was stunned. He immediately stopped dancing, went up to the stage, sprinkled water on him, relieved him of his paralysis, and said, "Oh, great sage, welcome to Kailash. I'm very sorry for this. In fact, you have misunderstood. When Parvati smiled at you, she was actually acknowledging you and said that she is pleased with you." And the Rishi also apologized for his misunderstanding. But then the Lord said, "We are mighty pleased with you, and we will definitely bless your yajna, your sacrificial ritual." So the yajna was performed in all its grandeur, and why not, when Shiva and Parvati herself are the yajamanas or the main head of the ritual, why not? A grandest of grand ritual for the devatas also to behold in their memory forever happened, and both Shiva and Parvati were mighty pleased with Bharadwaja. So they said, "Along with the blessings of Loka Kalyana for which this yajna is performed, we are so happy that we will confirm further boons on you." The Rishi was overwhelmed and he said, "Lord, it is your compassion." And Lord Shiva said, "In this Kali Yuga to come, never before has it happened and never again will it happen, na bhuto na bhavishyati, one such incarnation is going to take place. We as Shiva Shakti," he said, "first I shall come as Shiva aspect alone as Shirdi Sai. Then both of us together as Shiva Shakti will manifest as Satya Sai and Shakti alone as Prema Sai. And all this avatars, which is na bhuto na bhavishyati." It is said that every time the Kalpa regenerates, the creation regenerates, all the Yugas come again and again. So every time there is Treta, you have Sri Rama. Every time there is Dwapara, you have Sri Krishna. But here was the Lord declaring that this has never happened before, never to happen again. Such a wonderful, splendorous avatar, a combination of Shiva, Shiva Shakti and Shiva in the form of Shirdi Sai, Satya Sai and Prema Sai is to happen, and this will happen in your lineage, in the Bharadwaja Gotra. That was a great blessing that was conferred, and Swami declared this on the 6th of July 1963 on Guru Purnima Day, revealing his true identity. The end of the discourse, Swami says, "It was only when Krishna lifted the Govardhana that the Gopalas of Vrindavan realized who he really was." Swami said, "A time will come when I will lift an entire range and the whole world will know who Satya Sai is." Behold these words of the Lord. A professor in the university was wondering, why does incarnation take place at all? When he says, "Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata," when there is decline of dharma, I incarnate, Lord Krishna had said in Bhagavad Gita, 4th chapter. But if you see, in Treta Yuga, Sri Rama came, and after Sri Rama's rule, you will see that slowly it descended into Dwapara. Slight decline in dharma. From Dwapara, when Lord Krishna came, it moved into Kali Yuga. Absolute decline in dharma. If Lord comes to regenerate dharma, then why is it that we see that in a very universal way, the dharma kind of practice of dharma declines? Swami explains that. He says dharma can never decline. Practice of dharma can decline, which is in all our hands. So Swami says that practice of dharma declines from one yuga to other. So he had this question and did not understand, what does it mean then that whenever there is a decline in dharma, I incarnate. Even as these thoughts were there in his mind, that evening Swami summoned for a discourse in Bhajan Hall in a very unique way, which was usually not the case. And Swami asked for the mic to be kept, and Swami started giving a discourse. And during the course of the discourse, Swami said Some of my professors are wondering, what is the use of the avatar coming? When from one yuga to other there is decline of dharma, what is the dharma that the God has or the Lord has come to establish? And then Swami clarified and said, the Lord comes on earth to establish prema dharma, to sow the seeds of love for God in every single being who lives during the time of his incarnation. To sow such seeds of love is the purpose of the avatar, and it is the prema dharma that God comes to establish. And one should wonder, if it was not the prema dharma which Sri Rama came to establish, how is it possible that after 20,000 years, a great saint Tyagaraja was born to sing that glory, to revel in that love, and to distribute that love to all of us? Is it not the love, the seed of love for Sri Rama that was sown by him in the hearts of all the devotees that permeated to 20,000 years? Was it not the love of Krishna that permeated through 5,000 years? And a Mother Mirabai, a Tukaram, a Kabirdas, how all these wonderful personalities and many great devotees, even today who are here, who are silently such great devotees, unproclaimed, maybe even here in this assembly, how such great devotees were born if the seeds of love were not sown by those avatars? Swami says that avatar comes to sow the seeds of divine love and compassion in the hearts of all the devotees. Why this love has to manifest in each one of us is clear from this final story of Lord Shiva, which in fact is the triumph of Shiva, which is the topic for the day. You might wonder, why was it called the triumph of Shiva? All this while we were talking about something. No, we were talking about verily the triumph of love for God in our hearts, which permeates through the Bhagavatam or listening to the stories of the Lord. That is how the love wins in the heart of a devotee over the various vagaries of his mind and his tendencies. The final story is Tripura Samharam. It's a beautiful story. Please don't ask me specific details about it because it is too much for us to comprehend. But then it is a classic story for us to gain wonderful messages from. There was a demon by name Tarakasura, who was a great devotee of Lord Shiva himself. But because of his boons that he had, he became so arrogant. He had prayed to Lord Brahma. Brahma conferred on him boons. And the boon that he received from Lord Brahma was that he should be killed by the son of Lord Shiva. At that moment, Sati Devi had already immolated herself, and Lord Shiva was in his Vairagya Swarupa. He was totally detached from the world. So he expected that there could be no way that Lord Shiva can have a son. So he said, I want to be killed by Lord Shiva's son. He doesn't know that everything is already scripted. He had three sons too. One was Tarakaksha. Other was Viryavana, also sometimes called as Kamalaksha. And the third was Vidyulmali. He had, by the time Lord Kartikeya was born to Mother Parvati and Lord Shiva, the episodes had already happened. And here was Tarakasura, who was perturbed that any moment he will be killed now, because the son of Lord Shiva and Parvati is there. So for his own protection, he was inciting his sons, who were also great worshippers of Lord Shiva, to do some penance and ensure his protection. So they did tremendous penance on one leg for 1,000 years, it is said, breathing only, means consuming only air for 1,000 years, it is said, and upside down for 1,000 years, it is said. How compassionate is Swami? Swami says, simply love all, serve all, don't do all these things. But they did all that, and Brahma was pleased by their intense penance, and he granted them boons. And as usual, they asked for immortality. And all of us ask for immortality. Who is there here who does not chant Asatoma, Satgamaya, Tamasoma, Jyotirgamaya, Mrityorma, Amritam Gamaya? Mrityorma, Amritam Gamaya means, grant me immortality. But there is understanding in that. All these demons only chanted Mrityorma Amritam Gamya, forgot the first two lines. So they asked for immortality, no doubt, without the right perspective. So Brahma said, it is impossible to grant you immortality. Nobody is immortal because everything that is born has to die. How can it be immortal? Because they are asking from the physical perspective. Brahma replied in the physical perspective. Swami says, I am reflection, reaction, resound. Whatever you ask me, that way I reply to you. There was one student who went to Swami and said, Swami, what I should do? Swami said, MBA chai, do MBA. This boy was not convinced he should do MBA. So next day again he went, Swami, what I should do? Swami said, music chai, do music. And he went back thinking, music, Swami? And then next day again he went, Swami, music chayal annaru, what should I do, Swami? Swami said, IAS chai. Then he took all courage and told, Swami, you are confusing me thoroughly. Swami said, I am not confusing you. I am reflection, reaction, resound. You are confused, so I am simply reflecting it back to you. So, God is reflection, reaction, resound. He simply is like a mirror who reflects you back. So, that's why Swami says, if you tell Aham Brahmasmi, He will tell, yes, you are God. That's why Swami always tells us, tell yourself, Aham Brahmasmi, Aham Brahmasmi, Aham Brahmasmi, because you will be God. The entire universe, which is the form of God, simply reflects back the truth to you. So in good time you will be. In this context, of course, these three sons of Tarakasura asked the boon that we want to be immortal from the physical perspective, that the body should survive for eternity. Reflection. Brahma also spoke from the physical perspective and said, it is impossible. Everything that is born has to die. Your body was born, so it has to perish. So ask something else. So they thought they were very clever and then they asked for a very unique boon. They said, okay, grant us three forts. Each fort should be as big as a city. Three cities, you can say, or puras. And one should be on earth, another in sky, and another in heaven, which has the ability to be mobile on its own. At will, if we think we have to go there, the whole city can be transported there. That is the kind of city they asked. The one on the city is said to be made of iron. The other in the sky is said to be made of silver, and the heavenly city was to be made of gold. And each of these, Vidyunmali settled down in the iron city on the earth, and Kamalaksha in the silver city in the sky, and Tarakaksha in the golden city in the heavens. And the moment they did that, they knew nobody can conquer them, and they asked for one boon. They said, you said that we have to be destroyed. The condition under which we are to be destroyed is all the three cities should come in alignment. And that should happen only once in thousands of years. And it will happen for a split second. And in that split second, if one arrow is able to pierce through all three cities, that is the end of us. Looks totally impossible. But they did not know that the entire creation is a play of the Lord, including themselves. So anything that is asked has got a solution. There is no problem in the world which has not got solution. Why? Everything is a play of God. So He has a solution for everything. So it so happened that the Devas were very perturbed that they were worshipping Shiva in their cities and doing whatever they wanted to do, enjoying material life and all that. So the worship was granting them protection and they were doing whatever they want, which was against the norms of life. It was causing imbalance in the world. So the Devas went to Brahma. Brahma was helpless. He said, my dear, I only gave the boon. Why are you asking me to do something? I cannot do anything. So then they went to Vishnu. Vishnu said, see, what is the issue? And they said, Lord, they are doing like this. They are worshipping Shiva, so they are getting protection as a result. But they are doing all unwanted things which is causing imbalance in the society. So then he said, is it adharma that they are doing? No, they are engrossed in material wealth, which is not the purpose of creation. Purpose of creation is to know yourself. It is not to be engrossed in the material world. Then Vishnu said, very fine, we will make them do some adharma. It is said he created some being and all that, who taught them that there is no consequence of action and all that, which is a by story, which is not very important for us. Then it so happened that basically they were influenced and they left even the worship of Lord Shiva and they started leading a very adharmic life. Basically, confusion was created again for their own liberation. And these three demons were leading adharmic life, which was reason enough for Lord Shiva to intervene. And when all the devatas with Brahma and Vishnu approached Lord Shiva and said, "Lord, please do something about this," Lord said, "Yes, now that they are committing adharma, here is a chance for me to grant them liberation." Why? In the hands of the Lord, when anything is done, it is liberating. Gordon of Vrindavan campus used to tell us that earlier when he joined the campus, he was very loving towards students. He loved students so much that he could not admonish them or correct them very strictly. He would tell them, but difficult to correct them. One day there was one student who was a hopeless case. I'm sure many of us have come, parents have come across such hopeless cases. But there are some hopeless case which he felt none other than Swami can correct. So he went up to Swami and then said, "Swami, this student I am not able to do anything." Swami said, "Give him one. Give him strongly. Tell very loudly." Swami said, "I can't do that, Swami, I love them." Swami said, "You love them, that's why I'm asking you to correct." Swami said, "If you don't have love for them, you don't have the right to correct them. Because then it will be out of your personal grudge or ego." Swami said, "If you have love for them, then you are qualified to correct. Correct them." And then Swami said, "See, if you love them too much, they'll get attached to you. If they get attached to you, it is bondage. But if they get attached to me, it is liberation. You be strict so that they will think of me all the time." So anything that the Lord does is liberating. Swami said, "If they love me, it is liberating." So if Shiva was to send this arrow and destroy the three cities, though it looks like destruction, it is actually merger. He's accepting them back. All are his own forms. The entire creation is himself. He's simply accepting them back into himself. It is liberation. So Shiva agreed that, "Yes, I will do this." So he said, "But I need a chariot to fight. The time is approaching when all the Tripuras, the three cities, are going to come in alignment. I need a chariot to fight." There are two versions of this story. I will tell you both. Very interesting. It is said that all the devatas assembled the chariot. Earth itself was the chariot. Sun and the moon were its wheels. It is said that Brahma himself was the charioteer. The four Vedas are the horses. Mahavishnu became the arrow. Mount Meru itself became the bow. The great serpent Vasuki was the bowstring. And the front tip of the arrow, which was Mahavishnu, was Agni. The rear tip was Vayu, and the description goes on and on. Very beautiful to imagine. And it is said that with such construction of a battle image, Lord Shiva went and left that arrow, which was none other than Mahavishnu himself, which pierced through the three worlds and destroyed. This is one version of the story, which also has got its own inner meaning. Earth represents the physical body. Sun is the deity of buddhi or intellect. Moon is the deity of the mind. Both have to move in tandem. Then only the chariot can move forward, which means the mind has to be guided by the intellect, which is getting its instructions directly from the Atman, from the divinity inside. So the mind and the buddhi has to move in tandem. This is the cosmic mind that we are talking about. Then we have Mahavishnu, this is the individual mind that we are talking about. The cosmic mind itself is Mahavishnu. He is the arrow. When that arrow is single pointed, and the Tripuras, what are the Tripuras? Swami explains the Tripura is the Stula Sharira, that is the gross body, Sukshma Sharira, that is the subtle body, and Karana Sharira, that is the causal body. Swami says, "You are not one but three." These are the three that we are. And when all these three different personalities come in alignment, and the mind is concentrated to transcend them, in Mandukya Upanishad it said, after these three are transcended, there is Amatra Chaturtho. There is a fourth, which is Amatra, which has got no attributes. And that is pure Shiva Shakti. So Swami says that when these three are aligned by in meditation, the Stula, Sukshma and Karana is aligned in meditation, And when the mind, the cosmic mind, is concentrated to transcend beyond dharana, dhyana, samadhi, Swami describes, it's another talk altogether. When it is concentrated, it transcends these three states and goes to its original state of absolute tranquility of Shiva Shakti. Shantam, Shivam, Advaitam are these three words which the sage with great difficulty endeavors to explain what that God is, that we really are. With great difficulty he says, I cannot explain. He says, Achintyam, Avyapadesham, Ekatma Pratyasaram. It's impossible for us to remember, contemplate on it, describe it. We started with that. Yato vacho nivartante apraapya manasasaha. The Shiva aspect that we are, the Shiva Shakti, the Atman that we are, is impossible to describe. The sage who had that vision tries his best. He says, at best I can tell you, it is Shantam, absolute tranquility. Shivam, pure auspiciousness. Advaitam, it is non-dual. There is only one. He says, at best, my dear, this is all I can say. That which cannot be described, I'll make an attempt to describe with these three words. And this is what the Tripura Samharam represents. Lord Shiva leaves this arrow and the Tripuras were destroyed. And the emergence of that which was created into the one who created happens. That is liberation. But there is another meaning to it. A very practical meaning to all of us. Swami in another discourse describes that this chariot was very funny for Lord Shiva. Why? Because the chariot itself was earth, which is stable. Sun and moon, actually, if you see, by themselves don't go together. They go in opposite directions. So imagine a chariot with two wheels rotating in opposite directions. How can you use such a chariot? And Swami says, Shiva's charioteer was Narayana, who was in Yoga Nidra, who was sleeping. So you have a charioteer who is sleeping. You have two wheels of the chariot which are moving in opposite directions. It seems Lord Shiva looked at such a chariot. Swami describes this in his discourse. He says, Lord Shiva, looking at this chariot, has a hearty laugh. Surely that laughter destroys the three worlds. And Swami says, what is the inner significance of this? Swami says that the evil qualities, these three worlds definitely represents the gross, subtle and the causal bodies. But it was the evil qualities of Vidyunmali, Tarakaksha and Kamalaksha that were causing problem in these three worlds. And Swami says that the evil qualities are born out of grief and suffering in this world. Swami says, when there is Divya Ananda, divine bliss is there, when Shiva smiled or laughed, divine bliss permeated the entire cosmos. And when there is divine bliss, there is no place for evil qualities. Swami said, the easiest way to gain liberation is simply to be happy and contented in life. To conclude this satsang, this great victory or triumph of Shiva, I would like to share one last incident of the Pink Sisters who are so dear to Swami. The Pink Sisters, one of them, they were so dear and loving. They were very old. They grew up together right from the, they did not marry. Swami once proclaimed in the veranda that these pink sisters, these two ladies, they do the greatest seva in the world. There were people, state presidents and India presidents, international coordinators, all seated there who are known for their seva activities. But Swami declared in front of all of them, all veterans of seva, that these two sisters are the greatest epitomes of seva. Why? Swami says, wherever they are, every single moment, they continuously send their love to the world. They love, love, love. And when one of them passed away, the other came to have Bhagwan's darshan. And she was holding herself, her emotion, until she saw Swami in Purnachandra. And Swami asked her, are you feeling bad? Are you feeling unhappy? And she could not control and she started crying. And Swami said, see, if you are unhappy, if you are in grief, I cannot be with you. Why? Because I am Ananda Swarupa. How can there be Ananda when there is grief? Or how can there be grief when there is Ananda? Swami said, so, don't grieve from now on. I am always there for you. And I will take care of your sister. So from now onwards, always be happy. And when you are happy, Swami is with you, because that happiness itself, true happiness, is union with God, which is Swami. So Swami said, always be happy and contented every moment of your life. That itself is liberation. That itself is the triumph of Shiva and Shakti in all our lives. Thank you, Saira.
Guru Devo Mahesh. శ్రీ గురువే తస్మహి శ్రీ గురువే నమః గురు సాయి మహేశ్వర గురు సాయి మహేశ్వర
హరే साईनाथ हरे साईनाथ हरे।
जगवंदना Shankara, Abhayankara.